Today, the latest weapons, coupled with the fighting skill of the American soldier, stand ready, on the alert all over the world to defend this country, you, the American people, against aggression. This is The Big Picture, an official television report to the nation from the United States Army. Now, to show you part of The Big Picture, here is Sergeant Stuart Queen.
The film you are about to see was produced as a troop information film, specially prepared to alert the American soldier against a hidden enemy, an enemy that can destroy morale, rob the soldier of the will to fight, and even trick him into surrendering. Enemy propaganda. Although this study of communist deception was made for a military audience, we think that you, the American public, will also find it pertinent and enlightening.
Hello shortwave fans, and welcome to episode 8 of the UVB76 and Number Stations podcast. I'm Web Weasel, your host, and as ever I have my co-host Stanix111.
Hello.
GW Rasp.
Hello.
Trojan.
Hello.
And Bowen will be along as soon as he remembers to get home and realise he's supposed to be live on the internet right now. For shame. Okay, coming up in tonight's show, we have the 1997 first message from UVB76, the Brommel message, which we mentioned in the last show, but didn't add to the script properly, and therefore didn't play you, and didn't explain that this is the first known recording, so we'll play that in a bit. We have the one-week-only SO6 station, which is a very interesting occurrence we were tracking last week. Danix and I have been hunting XBA2. We've had an odd S-28 message, and the buzzer has genuinely returned to activity and on form as it always was. XO6C has been rather active this week. We had a really interesting transmission from there. We also have XM Wales, or something like XM Wales. There's a bit of debate as to what it actually is has been caught, and a little bit about EO7A. Okay.
EO7.
EO7, yes, you're right, Danix. Sorry. EO7. Right. First topic tonight, the 1997 Brommel recording.
Yes.
Right, let's play that, guys. One second.
Just on an off note, username here is Grasp. The GW is part of the name.
The worst bit is, I know that, and yet I still managed to say it wrong.
I know. I just thought I'd throw it in for the listeners.
Okay, here's Brommel.
Михаил, Анна, Леонид, семерка,
четверка, тройка, семерка, девятка, девятка, единица, четверка. Я ВБ-76. Я ВБ-76. 80-08. Промал. 74-26. 99-14. Единица. 80. 0-0. Восьмерка. Борис, Роман, Ольга, Михаил, Анна, Леонид, семерка, четверка, тройка, семерка, девятка, девятка, единица, четверка.
Okay, so there you go. That is the infamous first recorded voice message from UVB-76, recorded in 1997 by Jan, who... Trojan, tell us about...
No, Jan Michalski. It's a Polish name.
Yep. I was going to say, I'm not going to try and pronounce his surname when there's Slavic people here. Trojan, can you tell us about you getting in contact with Jan and getting that recording from him, please?
So the first was Avar. He contacted with Jan. It was after that Jan posted a message in Russian Wikipedia article about UB-76. So, in that message was note, contact me please, and his mail. We contacted with Jan, and he, after not long chatting, we got the message that he has a promo record on one of his CDs. After not long waiting, we finally got it. And you can hear it in this podcast.
Okay, yeah, so fantastic work from Avar and Trojan, tracking down Jan, getting in contact with him and obtaining that recording. That's a fantastic piece of history. Now, of course, onto the significance of that. Our Russian friends have told us that UVB is a mistake. Trojan, tell us, what should it be?
Jan contacted, after contacting us, said that we must name the station not UVB-76 but UZB-76, because in the messages that was on the station, we can clearly hear UZB-76, but on the famous 2006 year message with very, very, very bad quality, you even can hear UVB-75. It has annoying noise and awful quality of the voice stream. I think it was even recorded in AM, not USB, too distorted.
Yep, so essentially, it seems that us interpreting UVB is a mistake, and it's the station is UZB and always has been UZB. It's just that Western ears, listening to a language they don't speak natively, is unable to hear the distinctions and subtleties, and has actually misinterpreted the pronunciation of the letter. Okay, any other comments on the Brommel recording, guys?
Not so
much on the Brummel recording itself, but it's evident in there too. It's quite consistent, the message format. Like, you can see it even in Brummel, the earliest recording we have of UZB. It seems to be two numbers, then three numbers, then the word, then four sets of two numbers, and that's the same in Brummel. It's the same in these days' messages, except the oddity that we caught lately.
Yeah, which we'll get onto in a minute. So, yeah, I agree completely. It demonstrates the history of the station. We've been listening in 2011 with the change to MDZHB, and the message format is the same as the station when it was broadcasting as UZB in 1997. It's using the same format.
Yeah.
And it's quite significant to show that UZB, UVB, and... Say it for me, please, Danix. MDZHB.
MDZB.
The same station, probably broadcasting to the same people, even though they have changed their designator. Or, if a new designator is broadcasting to a new military group or a new set of spies or whatever the purpose of the station is, it's obvious the same communication method is used universally. So it'd be interesting to tie that in with the very similar formats we see on the squeaky wheel and pip messages, which are similar but not quite the same. Hopefully, the more we gather, the better understanding of the military divisions or espionage divisions we have with these stations and who they're communicating with. Of course, that is very much a pipe dream at this stage.
Well, it seems also that the first numbers in the UZB messages could relate to military groups. Having heard lots of Russian military broadcasts and stuff, especially lately, I hear one particular call sign quite a lot, which is Bita Sagittaria, Sagittaria Sasorak Bet, which is 45. And I've had a look through the S28 messages we've had out of all of them on the Prion website, and none of them have that particular call sign, but it's interesting that it's the same sort of format. It's a two-figure number, then a three-figure number. So I'm tilted towards thinking that the MDZB and UZB and the other one, which is V6 something, I think these are different military units, and it's not actually the call sign of S28. That's what I'm swung towards thinking because of the numbers at the start.
Yes, you're saying the ID that's broadcast at the start of the message isn't actually the station ID, it's actually the destination ID.
Well, possibly some sort of group. I think the destination is the first numbers, the two-figure number, then the three-figure number. That says to me that's a military designation, because, like I say, I hear that sort of designator a lot in the Russian military broadcasts that I hear, that we know are Russian military. So it seems to me Mikhail Dmitry Zhenya Boris could be the call sign of S28 at the time, or it could be the certain group that the agent that pertained to the next numbers is from, something like that maybe.
Yeah, it's curious. We wouldn't usually expect a station that's broadcasting on the same frequency with the same members of staff, and therefore, obviously, the same people. Yeah. In fact, the same message, two different IDs being broadcast in one continuous transmission. It makes you wonder, you know, do they use MDZB as the station ID? Because it would seem that they don't, because they would make sure that every message start MDZB, and then... If they were broadcasting to a different group and it was a named group rather than a number group, then they would then call the second call sign. So it seems from their usage of these alternative call signs and the way they broadcast their messages, since the messages can start with the alternative call sign, that it's not used as a station ID. But of course, just a guess with no way of knowing.
Yeah, that's right. It's all just guessing, of course. It's just educated guesswork.
Okay, so the buzzer has been exceptionally quiet the last 2 weeks, as we mentioned in the last podcast. Overall, very little activity through June at all. In total, 3 messages in June that we heard. There are a few days where Blade's repeater was offline, unfortunately, so we were not able to obtain archives or see any messages we missed. But during that time, there were people listening on SDRs The buzzer had a few outages, but no messages were heard through almost the whole of June, with only three in total, one on June the 7th, June the 8th, and June the 15th. The buzzer returns on July the 6th with a surprise, a very odd message. We will play it for you now. Okay, first thing to note about that, apart from the random echo I just threw in there accidentally, sorry, is the return of Olga. We hadn't heard Olga since the end of April. In fact, the last time we heard her was April the 27th. We heard only the guy with nickname Dimitri all the way through May and June, not hearing Olga once, so that's the return of Olga. Good to see that she's still working for the station. We had theorised, as Sabos just shouted out in the IRC, that we considered the activity of the buzzer had increased because it was perhaps being used for training of radio operators. Although that was resulting in not hearing Olga in 2 months, and we've just heard her, so it sort of cast doubt on that theory. However, if you'd listened closely to that message, you would have noticed that there were no starting numbers. There are only numbers on the end. And the numbers on the end were in two groups of hundreds rather than four groups of ten. So, for example, the last message we had on June the 15th, the ending numbers were 08, 47, 11, 50. The ending numbers on this message were 641 and 646. This is the first and only time we've heard this message format with no leading numbers, which of course really upsets a lot of the theories we had about what those leading numbers were for, and two groups of hundreds on the end, but the same station ID. What do you think, guys?
I think that it's a generic broadcast to all of the stations that get instructions from USAP. I think it's to all of them, so there's no need for a call set of numbers at the start.
Okay, that's a good idea. I like it. What do you think, Danix?
I'm agreeing with Grasp, and I think there were three hundreds because there were only two instructions to the units.
Okay, interesting. Trojan, any particular thoughts?
I'm agreed with Danix and Grasp.
Okay.
But I think it can be not only the instructions, it can be report about malfunction on the buzzer, because no messages for a month and a half. It mm-hmm. can be maybe problems with microphone or transmitter.
Okay, that's an idea as well. Yeah, so sounds like it could be a generic shout out to multiple groups. I've always inclined to believe that the lead numbers at the start of every message, because they were always unique, whereas where we'd had duplicate messages in the past, the numbers had always duplicated when we had duplicate messages in 2010. That stopped happening in 2011 and sort of cast doubt on a relationship between the word and the numbers after. But the numbers in front have always been unique, so I've always assumed it's either a message ID or an encryption key number. Now, to find a message with no ID does make you wonder, is it, yeah, as suggested, a one-off message to all the groups, say an alert status to everybody, or is this a non-coded message are generic words. Triton has a specific meaning to the group, and they don't need a decode key. It raises a lot of questions. Perhaps it was just a mistake. Although it's doubtful, because Olga, as we know, has been speaking for the buzzer as long as we have been listening, and we wouldn't expect her to make a mistake. She's pretty experienced and pretty consistent when she broadcasts. It's only been the second male voice, the trainee guy, who we've ever heard make any significant mistakes so far.
We have heard Olga shouted at in the past, and then she's rebroadcast. I think it was in 2010. Callsign MDJB.
Yeah, that was a possibility. I do recall that one, thinking about it. Okay, after that particular message though, the oddity, we've had two more on July the 7th. None was heard today, July the 8th, but we've not yet checked the archive recording, so it could be there'd be periods when all of us were AFK or just not listening, busy doing other things, so we need to check today's recording and see. But that's it for coverage of the buzzer for this episode, I think, unless anyone else has anything they'd like to say about it.
No, I think I've put my theories out there, but we've said everything about the activity.
Okay, good. Let's move on.
SO6.
Next is SO6. Yeah, this has been fantastic. And Danix and I think, are particularly proud of this one because we've worked so hard over the last couple of weeks to track and monitor this one-off station. Or that's what it appears to be for now. Let me just find the place in the webpage so I have lots of information ready for you at hand.
While we're speaking of the rare SO6 or weekly only SO6 station we're mentioning, I caught an SO6S that wasn't scheduled the other night, or I don't think it was scheduled, and then Danix and a couple of others and I followed it down the frequencies. While it was really high in frequency, it was 14.535 kHz, if I remember correctly. It was the biggest signal I've ever seen of any number station, extremely strong signal coming quite a wide band, and it was even S9 and AM in USB. I remember it was S9 plus 10, like I said, strongest I've ever had for any number station, which was quite surprising. That was just last night or the night before.
Yeah, SO6S, I have to admit, is a particularly interesting one. From the period Tucana and I were following it quite heavily about a month ago. I've been a bit busy recently, haven't had so much time during the day to track stations. It did seem that SO6S is highly directional. There'll be
yeah.
Series of messages throughout the day, and there'll perhaps only be a new message once a week for a particular ID. But when the messages are broadcast, there's usually a repeat 10 minutes later on another frequency. But there's also simulcasts. There'll be two messages broadcast to two different IDs on two different frequencies at the same time. So, in that scenario, we find one is very, very loud on a particular frequency, and another frequency that's very close to that, and you would expect to have the same propagation conditions, is very, very quiet. And when listened to on alternative receivers through Europe, the signal strength changes. So, from those observations, it seems quite reasonable from us to conclude that SO6 is highly directional, and agents are spread all over Europe, possibly all over the globe, and the broadcasts are sent directly to them or in their direction from a very dedicated transmitter site. But definitely an oddity.
Yes, interesting this, because I followed that same broadcast that was extremely loud and the 14.535 down with Danix through the bands. Danix couldn't hear anything when it was on 14.535, and he was in Poland. I was receiving on a German receiver on the SDR at the time. Danix couldn't hear anything for that broadcast, but it was, like I say, exceptionally loud for me. As we followed it down through the bands, as it got down to about in the 7,000, 6,000 region, I think, Danix could hear it loud. I couldn't hear it at all on the same thing, and it was the same, it was the repeat. So it was interesting to see that. So it's definitely directional, but the same broadcast seemed to be going one way and then another. So I don't know, make of that what you will.
Interesting. Yeah. Something we intend to do as part of the team in future is learn more about direction finding. Make attempts to actually direction find every number station broadcast we hear as we can. However, I don't know enough about it at this stage to know whether it's even potentially possible. My understanding is you probably actually need either an incredibly expensive tunable magnetic loop antenna, which is beyond most people's budgets, or you can build them to one set frequency, but of course that would mean you need a antenna for every single frequency you hear a number station on, obviously being prohibitively costly. However, it is a potential for the future and we are considering it. But back to the main story about SO6. SO6 has been more active than usual. In fact, last week it probably doubled its number of broadcasts, if not more. The activity started with the new ID of 125 in May the 26th, which Danix and I both discovered on the low frequency of 4586, and have followed several messages on Thursday evenings at the 10:08 UTC time. Because SO6 normally broadcasts quite short messages to see groups of 51 and messages incrementing their ID, so starting at 001 and continuing 002, 003, 004 with each subsequent message. We were very surprised to think we might have found a new agent or someone being trained. We played you those messages in previous podcasts. However, last Saturday, or the Saturday before last, 25th of June, we had an absolute surprise, which was a message starting with the ID 524, the number 002, and 24 groups. At the end of that, ready to stop my recording, there's a long pause, and then the ID carries on. Instead of reading null, 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 the ID 524 continues at the end of the message, suggesting there'll be a second one, which was a real surprise. And there was a second message. 002, a big pause, and then 76. 76 groups, a very long message. Sorry, I'm mixing the two up. There were a short message of 21 groups, numbered 003, and then a long message of 76 groups, numbered 002, giving us a total of 3 messages in one transmission. We'll play you a short sample of that now.
Null.
Okay, so I only played you parts of that because the total recording is half an hour long, and I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want to sit there and listen to half an hour long free message SO6 right in the middle of the podcast. I tried to play you all parts of all three messages there, so managed to catch the start of two of them and the end of the third one with the group numbers, so should have managed to pick that up if you're listening closely. So that one was a real surprise. I don't believe that a free message SO6 had ever been heard before. Danix was very excited and shouted SO6E when the second message started the broadcast, but then we were really surprised with the third one. So we didn't quite know where to post this on the website. The ID 524 was new, we hadn't seen that, so we weren't sure it was an SO6 ID, and well, free messages doesn't fit in SO6 either, but it doesn't fit under the any of the SO6 family. So where could we put it? We decided to stick it in SO6E for them, and Danik sent the information off to the Enigma group to see what their opinion was. We decided to keep an eye on the frequencies, and over the next couple of nights, while scanning around, managed to catch the end of a couple of messages. Scan Sweden picked one up on June the 26th and caught the end of one on 4586 at 1957 with the ID of 125. I caught the end of one on June the 27th at 7 p.m. on 7982. Which was a predicted one, sorry, reading the wrong one there. June the 27th, we caught one on 4512. And this set up a series of frequencies that we monitored on the 4 MHz area, where SO6 was broadcasting up to 6 messages a night. First one we managed to get full transcription of after the free message one was on June the 27th. This had the message ID of 00636, and again started with the ID 524. Now, a fascinating one about this one is approximately 30 seconds after the end of the recording, a series that said piat, 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 piat was broadcast, and this set up a precedent for that week. Recording after recording after recording we've managed to get here of SO6 broadcasting counting numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 and 1 to 9 repeated. I'll play you a sample of that now. So there you go, SO6 counting 1 to 8. This happened after every message we heard for almost every broadcast that week. The station's carrier would come up almost an hour before the message was broadcast and would stay up for that hour. The message would be broadcast as normal, nothing particularly interesting about that, except the incremental IDs happening in the messages. And afterwards, there would always be a series of mistakes of countings, either 5 said 4 times, or counting 1 to 8 repeated for a number of minutes. Sounds like Bowen has joined us. Hey, Bowen.
Yo, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice of you to join us.
Ooh, Bowen didn't come on and ruin the podcast.
Yeah, well done, Ryan. They were taking bets in the IRC about whether you'd walk right into a sample and just go, hey, guys, right over the top of it.
I said in the IRC, do that. It's funny that you came back while it was recording too, but my station prediction was wrong.
Well, Bowen is here and Bowen has not much to say.
Okay, Bowen, well, just to bring you up to speed, we've covered buzzer activity, the Bromwell message and 1997 message, and the Triton message the other day, the short one with the odd numbers. And now we're just going through the SO6 find last week.
So anyway, okay.
I shall get back to where I was. Okay, so we start monitoring these frequencies around 4 MHz every night of the week last week, looking on 4512, 4009, 4586 mostly. There were a number heard much lower down on the edge of the ham bands in 3818 and 3740, although most of the messages we heard that low, which were later at night at 9:30 and 10 o'clock, were usually very poor quality or almost completely inaudible. And later in the week, we didn't even see the carriers come up. It seems that those times the propagation wasn't great or the messages were directional and not aimed at us. But those main frequencies, except the lowest one on 4 MHz, which jumped around, appearing on 9 o'clock every night in that week, but the frequencies were 4007, 4009, 4001, so they could make their mind up with that. The other two were static, 4512 and 4586. Either way, every night we had the same series. At 8 o'clock we would have one on 4586, at 24 minutes past we would have one on 4512, and consistently 24 minutes past every broadcast. Then 9 o'clock, then if we were lucky enough to catch them, 9:30, 10 o'clock as well on the much lower frequencies. Really fascinating to see something we hadn't seen with number stations before, which is the message IDs incrementing. So we noticed the 125 message IDs had started off low, 002, 003, 004, and incrementing like that. I'm surprised to see this again with these new messages going 020, 021, 022, etc. The few were out of order, as in we would have, say, 021 before 020, but they would eventually be incremental. And interestingly, the free message one used 002 twice. Later that week, we heard a two message one on June the 30th, which is noted on the SO6E page as well, and Enigma in their newsletter, based on Danix's submission of the recording we got, classed this one as SO6E as well. However, same ID of 524, so I find it difficult to put that recording under the SO6E page when I feel it should belong on the SO6 page. That week, with the series of messages that we've heard, they've always been on the same frequency. This one was on 4512 at the same time slot of 2024, which is an odd time slot to be 24 minutes past, and consistently the message start at 24 minutes past. For this to be classed as SO6E, which I would consider a separate station, just seems odd and out of place. That station continued broadcasting all that week up till Friday night. We were getting messages, and then Saturday and Sunday it broadcast nulls. So July the 1st and July the 2nd we get the same IDs, which are 125, 524, 294, 134 and 837, 703 and 366, which are the various IDs that have been used to broadcast these messages, all received nulls. So it looks like SO6 gave all their agents the weekend off. However, we have to speculate. Why was this one-off station come up and appear? What do you think, guys? Why did SO6 have this one-shot week with odd message numbers? Two messages, three messages, one message, and then all of the stations end in a series of nulls over the weekend.
Because they call it spikes. They won't always stick to a schedule. There will be things, I think, that all stations will find, just what seem to be random broadcasts. Like, some are clearly, like clockwork, the agents receiving messages, but you've got to think there are certain agents that won't always be out in the field in the same place, or won't be out in the field for long. They'll only be at a certain job for a week or two, so they'll only need a couple of messages. And we will schedule them first because we haven't heard them first. Maybe that's why.
Okay, Bone, what's your opinion?
Yeah.
Oh dear. We're going to have words after this podcast, Bone. Danix, what do you think about SO6 last week?
I think it was spy training school on summer camp. Who knows if it was for the children or not.
Well, yeah, considering the mistakes and the counting and the repeated fives at the end of messages and so on, it's odd. The fact it was a one-shot week and they couldn't decide on their 9 o'clock frequency but knew it was roughly around 4 o'clock or so, 4 megahertz or so, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Perhaps there was something very special going on with those guys last week and there are a series of spies who did special ops or special missions, and that's what the messages are all about. But we can but speculate. Okay, what have we got next in the script?
XBA2.
Danix, do you want to tell us about XBA2?
I investigated the spoil town, as from Itakai's description, I got just no sense instead of message. It consists of 14 towns, 10 towns manic numbers, 2 towns manic space and character repeat, the rest 2 are administration towns. Norm in schedules is 10 minute delay between repeats, but there is one slot using 20 minute delay. It's not unusual for them to go for a month and then just disappear, like 4 a.m. morning slot. XPA2 is currently on Siege. If you can help, join us.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we'll play a couple of samples of XPA afterwards, but yeah, just to sum up what Danix has said, he had a look at E2K's tones defining what the numbers should represent in the transmission and found that he couldn't translate stuff. They didn't seem to match up properly. So he sat down and investigated them himself, and assuming the sequential scale of the scheme, which has been applied to the XO6 and other XPA decoding, he's worked out what the tone position should be, and a few of us around have suggested things like shift bits and whatnot in the necessary places. Either way, we've had a great week because XBA2 has been particularly active and it was known to be scheduled, but the frequencies weren't known, so we had the great fun of hunting. And last week, we managed to pick up 2 new frequencies for XBA2. On Tuesday night, Danix and I found the 10 past 10 one and the 20 past 10 one. The 10 past 10 one being on 13.362 and the 20 past one being on 12.214. Now, the interesting thing to note about XBA is it always drops down through time in its frequency. So the first broadcast, say it was at 7 o'clock or 10 o'clock, will be on the highest frequency, say 15 megahertz something. The repeat, 10 minutes later, will be approximately 1 megahertz down, and the repeat after that will be approximately 1 megahertz down. So they tend to stay grouped and very close to each other, and if you're hunting and you know on your second or third slot, if you found the previous slot, always go down from that slot in order to find XPA2. And you should be able to find it. It really stands out in the waterfall. You can't miss it. Because it sounds like this. Okay, so that's XPA2 for you. It should be active next week, I believe. Danix, is it still going to be active next week, or do you reckon it will have stopped?
Yes, it's still active.
Okay, so definitely look for it Tuesday night on those two frequencies. You should definitely be able to hear it then. We did have a hunt for it on the same frequencies for the rest of the week, hoping that it would be a repeat schedule, but it appears that it's only Tuesday night that we've heard on those two frequencies, despite hunting. Any other times we caught it, Danix, you'd like to mention?
Can you say it again?
Any other catches of XPA2 you would like to mention that I didn't mention?
There is 10 o'clock evening slot of XPA2, which was said to come from Cuba.
Of course, we know XPA can't possibly come from Cuba, judged by the reception we get. Okay, I think that'll cover it. What's next? Okay, XO6E. Grasp, do you want to tell us about XO6E?
Well, XO6E is one of the variants of XO6, what's believed to be a Russian cell call system, or maybe a tune-up for the Crowd36. Is Crowd36 an MFSK? Am I right?
That sounds correct to me. No, I think it's MSK, but I'm not entirely sure myself.
Right, well, it's a Russian data mode either way. It could be a tune-up for that. But it's basically a scale of 6 different tones that represent numbers from 1 to 6. With XO6C, it's just 1 to 6. It just counts and it stays on the frequency for some time. Recently, we've seen a lot of activity from XO6C, sometimes 2 and 3 of the same XO6C signal at once. At one point, I actually got 3 XO6C signals all within, I think, about 1,000 hertz. 1,000 hertz of each other, all around 1 to 100, and they were so clear and strong signals that you could also hear them in AM mode as well as up the sideband. And they had blatant carriers there as well, which is interesting because sometimes the Mazielka system has a carrier and sometimes it doesn't, which I don't really understand. But there we have it. We actually also caught XO6A and XO6B, two other variants of Mazielka. XO6A, and I can't really remember how it counts now. I think it counts 1-2-1-2-1-2, that's right, and XO6B counts 1-2-3-3-2-1, which is an interesting variant. Just scanning around, I can't remember the frequency now, I found XO6A by accident. 11090 it was.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and I shouted it out in the IRC, and Danix and several others joined me in listening. And then to our surprise, about 5 minutes in to XO6A being there, XO6B joined the same frequency, so we had the two playing at the same time, which again is very interesting if XO6 is proposed to be a tune-up system. We don't know why there'd be so many different variants all at once on one frequency. Do we have the do you have the sound file ready there for XO6A and B, Webweasel?
I do indeed. Let me grab it.
Just so people know, the recording of XO6A and XO6B is 125 hertz too low of the frequency it should be on, so it sounds a bit high-pitched.
XO6B is actually a variant of XO6, which broadcast less than 6 tones, where you can hear the longer tone, instead of 6 tones.
Okay, let me just grab that file and save it. Unexpectedly, it's an MP3, so a bit more difficult to deal with, one sec.
Yes, sorry.
That's alright, don't worry about it.
It's finally come back on us.
So with those nice OGG files, they play straight out of the browser. It's great. I can just load up the website and
yeah, well, there we see, go. It works the other way for me. The MP3s will work fine, but the OGGs I have to mess around with.
Okay, I'm going to play it now, so be quiet. That one was XO6A, and this one is XO6B. Okay, and this final one is GW Grasp's recording. I'm going to keep saying it forever until I break myself of the habit. It's Grasp's recording of XO6C, but with two signals playing at once, phasing in and out of each other. Sometimes they're in sync, sometimes they're not, so I'll skip through it quite quickly to give you an idea. Okay, so that's the activity for the XO6 group in general this week. You've heard all the recordings there that we've managed to pick up. So what do you have to say, guys? You know, what's up with XO6? We hear it so rarely, usually, and then we hear A, B, and C all in one week. What's going on?
I don't know. I can't really theorise what it is. I don't think it's a cell call. I don't think it's a tuner. What's interesting is that it's on multiple frequencies at once, so it's obviously broadcasting multiple carriers. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that we got A and B, because we didn't even have those on the website until we found them. So clearly it has upped its activity quite a lot, because we're not really monitoring more or less than we have been lately. So, I think XO6 is a lot more active now, if nothing else.
Okay, so any suggestion of a relationship between XO6 family and the SO6 transmissions the last week we were talking about a minute ago?
All I want to do, Webby, is call you a ninja, first of all, because I was just about to say that.
Well, what do you think, Bowen? Do you reckon there's a connection or not?
It just seems a bit too much of a coincidence for that to be up in its activity and then SO6 be up in its activity and XPA all at the same time.
They are all said to be Russian signals too, so it could be the same agency.
That's my theory behind it.
Okay, all entirely possible, of course. Danix, any thoughts?
Again?
Any thoughts about XO6 and SO6 being related, perhaps, considering they've both been so active recently?
No.
You don't think they are at all? Or no thoughts?
It was a firm no. I don't think he thinks they're related.
Okay, it's been fascinating, because the XO6C broadcast, though, have been like day and night long, haven't they? They've stayed on one frequency for like 12 hours straight, and then we found them start up on another frequency, and they've basically run for 12 hours straight, as far as we've been able to tell. So XO6C is a very long broadcast time, so it was suggested that it's not any kind of cell call or, yes, any markup before another frequency is going to be used for Crowd 36 if it's running for a 12-hour period at the time. It's really, you know, begs the question that it would be used for that purpose.
On multiple frequencies as well. Like, why would you tune multiple frequencies when Crowd 36 we only ever see on one frequency at a time? That's not plausible, I don't.
Exactly, yeah. It's, very interesting, but now we've got Danix to sit down and analyse the tones of it, and we can decode XO6 and XPA with the work that's been done by E2K as well, and Danix's update to XPA2. I intend, in the next couple of weeks, when I finish working on getting the database up and running on the site, to sit down and write a decoder for each one of these because it's a reasonably simple thing to do. The tones are known, and the suggested numbers for them seem good from the decodings that we've put together. They look in the kind of format we would expect for a number station message. So it's worth spending the time to knock a few sound decoding modules, match to these tones, and write a bit of software that will be able to decode them. So I'll be on that in the next few weeks, and hopefully we'll have a nice little X06 XPA decoder you can run on your PC, tune to something, play it through your sound card, and it'll be able to decode it for you. So we'll start posting a lot more messages as well. However, of course, X06, X06A, and X06B just play short repeating sequences, so not too much of interest there. XPA send, and XPA2 send very long, complex messages, so nice stuff to add to our database and get on with some brute force cracking, despite the 1 in billion chance we ever have of getting a legible message out of anything. Okay, well, we'll move on if we don't have a recording immediately. I bet we haven't got a recording for the next one as well, knowing us. Right, the next thing we'd like to discuss is we were listening to EO7 the other night.
Sorry to break, Webby. I've just found it, so I'll upload it now and we can put it in after the next section.
Okay, no worries, man. Alright, back to my links. Yeah, EO7, over the last couple of days, we recorded, and Danix heard it fine, but the modulation for a lot of the listeners was so poor that even though we had a carrier of, say, S9 plus 10, we couldn't possibly comprehend what was being said. The voice modulation was so low as to make it almost impossible to hear. Yeah, again, unfortunately, we don't have a recording of that one. I intended to have it queued up, but this podcast being a week after the last release is a bit run together at the last moment. We felt so much had happened in the last couple of weeks that we just had to get a new one out, especially with the SO6 activity and XO6 activity, and hearing the oddity which Grasp is uploading for you now. So this episode, despite being a week after episode 7, needed to come out pretty soon, otherwise we'd have a 2-hour long one for episode 9. But yeah, that's more or less it for number stations for this last couple of weeks. So as soon as
we
got
the... discuss the EO7?
Yeah, that's just what I've been talking about. We haven't got a recording of it, though. We will play XM for you in a sec when it's uploaded, just so you can hear it, because it's fantastic noise.
My convert is a bit slow, so I'm having to just upload an MP3 version, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be fine, then.
We are having minor technical difficulties, and we'll be with that... Oh, because I can't speak.
No.
Now, isn't that the coolest thing you ever did hear? Yep, so we listened to that for a good couple of hours. It was pretty weak where in the UK where I was receiving it. I must have been in the skip zone, I guess, where everyone else in Europe and Northern UK seemed to receive it absolutely fine. Beautiful sounding. Sounding random, so not a repeated downward sweeping noise time after time in a cycle, but almost random and changing and shifting and phasing. No interruptions though. During the entire time it was broadcast, it didn't stop or pause or skip in any way at all, so we can only assume it was some sort of data broadcast rather than any kind of voice transmission. For it to be in a voice transmission, you would have expected short breaks in the transmission where the speaker pauses and there's no data to be transmitted except faint background sound, so there'd be significant notable gaps in the transmission. And other forms of voice technology tend to work in burst mode and will be like a data modem, where everything is completely changed and compressed into a short packet. So a long continuous transmission like this to us really suggests that it's likely to have been a data transmission of some kind, although never heard anything quite like it before.
Is it possible that it was an idling jammer?
I don't think so. A jammer will just loop and cycle in the same way. It tends not to be that essentially random kind of noise we hear there.
True. Yeah, it has to be, for it to be a jammer, it'd be a bit overcomplicated.
As far as the voice thing or the data encryption goes, when you listen to it, you can kind of, it does sound a lot like there is voice there, not all the time, but sometimes. So what I think is maybe the noise itself, the constant noise, is because the carrier is fleeting around. When a carrier goes over the frequency you're listening to, as everyone knows, you get a or a depending on its direction. Like, maybe it's the constant whistling and changing of pitches because the carrier is moving about, because that's essentially what it was, moving around a carrier. And the voice only comes in, obviously, when it needs to, but the carrier's still there, so the carrier still makes constant noise. To me, I think it sounded quite a lot like a sort of encrypted voice, encrypted by shifting the frequency. Me and Danix discussed it, and it just seemed a bit plausible.
It's definitely a possibility. This kind of noise, having listened to it a few times, it's really hard to suggest either way. There's so many random factors into it and oddities to the sound. And of course, your ears try and hear patterns anyway, so your brain will sometimes interpret stuff that's not there into it, just as your own pattern recognition system kicks in and tries to find, you know, sound and voice where there isn't any. But yeah, it's such an organic, weird noise, and it doesn't sound particularly digital or electronically generated, does it?
No, well, whatever it is, it's clearly an intentional signal anyway.
Okay, but a beautiful one. That kind of thing is one of the best things to find out in shortwave bands. If you're interested in getting a radio, that is the kind of thing you'll hear every now and then. You'll find a nice little beauty. And it was just audio pleasure. What can I say?
Eargasms.
Eargasms. Nice.
I just thought I'd have my input there.
Okay, guys, I think that's more or less it for this episode. I can't think of anything else we've missed or not covered. There's nothing else left in the script.
There is indeed not.
Anyone want to chat about anything else before we sign off?
G11 at
8 o'clock Universal Time on 3815 G11.
You've got 20 minutes for that.
Sorry about my lack of being able to speak today.
Yeah, thanks for your contribution, Bowen.
So, Bowen, what do you think? Yeah.
I was in the kitchen.
It was food.
I think that's it. That's a podcast. That's an episode, guys.
Repeat.
So, this is Web Weasel signing off. I will wish you all happy listening. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Merry Christmas. Goodbye.
I wanted to say Merry Christmas, too.
Real.
Farewell, shortwave fans. See you in the next episode. Hopefully on a better schedule than this one. Happy listening.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. Since a prehistoric ages, and the days of ancient Greece, on down to the Middle Ages, planet Earth kept going through changes, and then the Renaissance came. The times continue to change.
about to see was produced as a troop information film, specially prepared to alert the American soldier against a hidden enemy, an enemy that could destroy morale, rob the soldier of the will to fight, even trick him into surrender. Enemy propaganda. Although this study of communist deception was made for a military audience, we think that you, the American public, will also find it pertinent and enlightening.
Михаил.